Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, Poetic Energy herself.
Bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow. Weekly featured guests and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves
live.
At all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Hello, I am your host, Queen Tang. And you are listening to Conversations with the Queen, where we discuss any and everything about life, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. But we will always have a helping hand and a helping word. Today's topic is a continuation from last week on How Sound Affects the Mind, Part 2, how to communicate effectively and what we may be doing wrong. Before we get into that, I would like to remind you that if you miss a show or are interested in further information on this or other shows' topics, you can check us out at conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. All right, guys. You know, it's a long weekend. Just want to, you know, big up everybody who listens in every week. You know, really am appreciative of, you know, all the listeners and past guests and everybody who comes in to support Conversations with the Queen every Monday, you guys. And if you are new and just tuning in right now, we have this every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, you know, time. And, you know, we get it in, we do our thing. All right. So let's hop right into the topic. We all know the age-old saying, it's not what you say, but how you say it. But most of us never take the time to fully understand the science behind that saying or fully understand how to apply it. Communication is key in many aspects of life, but it is especially important when it comes to the maintenance and establishment of relationships. By understanding not only what to do and what we may be doing wrong, we harness the affluent tool of communication itself. The application of this skill can help us to advance and find success in many arenas in life, not only personal, but professional and everything in between. Healthy communication is healthy living. All right, so we're going to get into a couple aspects on how to communicate effectively. Now, when you're communicating, you know, a lot of people tend to not necessarily, you know all the, you know, proper ways to express themselves. Not everybody is born with the gift of gab, and even those of us who are, you know, there's a proper way to place that gift. And what we must realize when we are communicating, we must communicate the ideas that we truthfully have to the best of our abilities and the best format that we can present it, so there's no room for miscommunication. You see, that's one of my pet peeves, arguments or confrontations that start over miscommunication. So when you're trying to communicate effectively, it's important to ask questions. Do not assume. We all know the saying about assume. It does nothing. It does not help people when you assume things because, you know, you could be wrong. Make sure we listen. I myself have been guilty of not listening a time or two, and that's very key because how will you know how to properly respond to something if you are not listening to what is being said in its entirety? Observe. Observation is key, you guys. That also goes along with listening. So you understand how and when to, you know, react to certain aspects of the conversation and what's going on, not only in conversation, but what's going on in surroundings, what's going on with the person, nonverbal communication, and we'll get into that a little bit later as well. Next thing that we need to communicate effectively is let people know what we are truthfully thinking. You know, sometimes we might worry about stepping on others' toes or, you know, certain things that's not necessarily as important as really just making sure that we are effectively communicating our message. And I want to say not just effectively, but efficiently, meaning that, you know, we are getting it across in the best way for that person to understand whoever we are talking to, and for there to be the least amount of, you know, discrepancy within that. All right? We also going to move on to questions, helpful questions that you can ask yourself when you are trying to communicate. Okay? Am I seeking to understand the person? Are you really trying to understand what the other person is saying, or are you only concerned about what you have to say and how you have to say it? Now, you see, I mean, I've been there, folks. I've been the person on that, you know, end who's just like, no, look, I'm trying to say what I got to say. You know, I'm not really trying to hear what you are saying, but are you really seeking to understand what the other person is saying? That, you know, really creates a very effective communicator. Am I listening and really hearing what the person is saying? Yeah, that's another key component. Are you really listening? Are you just hearing or are you listening? You know, sometimes we just, you know, hear what the person is saying, and sometimes we just hear what we want to hear because I've been there too. Hearing what I only wanted to hear, not really hearing what was truthfully being said. And, you know, that can be a problem. All right. Am I expressing my own point of view so that you understand? Again, are you really, you know, making an effort to try and let that person understand it in the best way that they can understand it? Because, you know, sometimes the way we understand things and the way another person might understand things can be two different ways. Everybody has a different learning style. Everybody has a different way of understanding things. Are we communicating it so that we can understand it, or are we communicating it so the person can understand it? And that's where observation comes in, because you must know who you are talking to in order, and things about that person, in order to effectively understand if you are communicating in a way that they will understand. Okay? Is there anything I'm doing in my nonverbal communication that I don't intend to communicate? I've been there a couple times, folks, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we might be passionate, we might be in the moment, or we might not just even notice anything, you know, wrong with what we're doing, and we will seriously be communicating some other things we were not trying to get across during the process of us trying to communicate our ideas and feelings, okay? Am I trying to see things from different angles, or am I just looking at things in an either-or fashion? Are you really trying to see where this whole thing could be coming from, all the different aspects of possibilities, or are you just looking at it, look, you either say this or you either say this? You know what I'm saying? It's either hot or cold. When a lot of times there are many shades of gray in between it, and, you know, and we have to understand and try to be understanding of this person's perception. It might even be a perception of what the gray areas are, or what the mediums between the extremes are. Okay? Last question, okay? Am I adjusting my own communication patterns to suit the person I am dealing with? So, that was, we've talked about that. Are you adjusting your own communication patterns to deal with the person that, you know, you are trying to talk to? Or are you just saying what you want to say how you want to say it? All right? Now, here's some, you know, helpful tips for developing your communication. Observe excellent communicators. There are some people out there who really know how to talk to people. They really know how to get their point across in a way that is effective, that is efficient, that is non-offensive, that really just gets the job done. And if you see somebody like this, observe them. Or even you might even want to observe sometimes professional speakers, people who do these things like that for a living. Because within the profession of speaking, you know, you have to learn to develop certain techniques and certain things that help you to communicate what you're trying to say in the best form and the best fashion, okay? Learning from your own and others' mistakes. If you keep on saying something the same way and that person's just not quite getting it, you might want to try a different way to say it. You know, sometimes we get stuck in this whole mentality of, you know, there's nothing wrong with how I'm saying something. Well, if you're not making progress from it, maybe there is something wrong with the way that you're communicating, especially specifically for the person or the audience that you are trying to communicate that to, my love. Okay. Developing a conscious awareness of communication habits, patterns, styles, strengths, and weaknesses, okay? And what that's really going into is just, you know, really understanding how you communicate yourself. What's your communication style? How do you communicate naturally? And then what are your strengths? You know, what are your weaknesses? What are things you can improve on? What are things you got in the bag? Okay? So, you know, really just even becoming observant of not only others, but yourself and what you might be doing right and what you might be doing wrong. All right? Okay. Applying principles of effective communication. Now, just because you might do a little research on effective communication, or you might even observe some people who have communicated effectively, does not the whole, you know, aspect of work does not stop there. The ball does not stop there, people. You got to go and you have to apply the theory. Theory without application is nothing. Okay? If you know something, you don't do it. I mean, what good is really knowing it? What good is having that information if you don't use the information that you have? So apply those strategies, apply techniques, apply these things that we are talking about here today on Conversations with the Queen, and really, really, you know, get into becoming a an effective communicator. I'd like to remind all the listeners that might be in the chat or, you know, just listening in, if they would like to chime in, the number is 917-932-8881. All right, and that's 937-932-8881. And if you want to speak with me, your host, you just have to press 1, and, you know, you'll be able to come in. But, you know, we like to finish up our little introduction and, you know, presentation of what's going on, okay? All right. Speech is processed in the brain along two parallel pathways. Now, this is really dealing with how speech is processed in the brain, okay? How speech and sound are processed by the brain, how, you know, the little scientific technical things that's going on inside your brain when you hear people, okay? Speech is processed in the brain along two parallel pathways, the what and the where. Streams or pathways. The pathways process the signals in the auditory cortex, or the so-called temporal lobes, and in the info processed by the what pathway follows along the outside of the temporal lobe, and the what picks up the complex auditory signals, which includes communication, sound, and their meaning, okay? The where pathway is mostly in the perineal lobe, above the temporal lobe, and it processes the spatial the spatial effects of sound, and the location in the motion and space. The where is involved in providing feedback during speaking. And all this fancy stuff just means, okay, in your brain when you're listening, there's two places that mainly are active, okay? And these two places are the what and the where, okay? So you're thinking, you're hearing two parts. You're hearing what's being said, and you're also determining how well you can hear what is being said by placing where it is. You know how when a car goes by and it's coming by, you can hear it getting closer, and you can hear it going farther away. Or when somebody is closer to you, you can hear them louder, and when somebody farther away, you can hear them, you know, less. Or if they're behind an object, you hear if it sounds muffled. So all those things are determined by the where, okay? And the what, which is just picking up, okay, how you process language and linguistics, and, you know, really how your brain's going to completely understand, you know, interpret the sound waves from just sound waves into words that you understand as language, okay? That's really all that really is doing. And that's called auditory perception. And that's the process and interpretation of sound information, which is tied to anatomical structures. All that means is when you hear something and how you hear it through the body, how the body interprets that. This is really all that's dealing with. And don't get overwhelmed by big concepts and things like that. But that's just a little insight on the science of hearing. And the science of hearing also does tie into last week what we were talking about with the science of hearing frequencies and brain waves and all those other different types of things. So, you know, you can see how this is an extension of last week's show. And if you didn't hear last week's show, because you didn't have the chance to go and really listen to it live, you can always check it back on the archives, any show that you've missed. You can go back on to Poetic Energy, blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. You can go on there and just, like, look through the shows. You know, we have a lot of shows on here. But just look for Conversations with the Queen and the date, and, you know, go right back on there and listen to it. Okay? All right. How to use your tone of voice. Ooh, this goes so well with the introduction of when we're talking about it's not what you say, it's how you say it, because, you know, a lot of people don't know how to check the tone of their voice. Sometimes I don't know how to check the tone of my voice. I'll be little, and, you know, my mom comes, like, what you say to me? And I'll be like, oh, my goodness, blah, blah, blah. She's like, it's not what you said, it's how you said it, okay? And it's that tone of voice, because that's a actual part, the tone of your voice, is a part of nonverbal communication, meaning something that's not just placed inside of the words that you're speaking upon literal translation. And so, you know, when you're dealing with the tone can be very, very important. It can be important in aspects of business and aspects of the personal life. But when it comes to business, they actually say, or like, you know, you making a business out of speaking, say, for the radio, for example, or something like, you know, a public speaker. They say using that deep tone, breathing from the diaphragm, like kind of like this, you know, making sure that it's pronounced and you're really breathing on point, is associated with authority and confidence. So when somebody's speaking like this, they, you know, they kind of communicate a certain thing just by the tone in which they're speaking, you know. And when it comes to, like, things like another business aspect or more like customer service aspects, you know, it's good to speak with warmth and a positive tone. So, you know, something more like the radio even, when depending on the process of the type of radio that you're doing, you know, or where in the show we're doing. Like, when I speak to my callers, I try to be warm and inviting and playful and, you know, just, you know, happy and upbeat because I want them to feel welcome to come on the show. So this warm and positive, upbeat tone makes the person feel like that you are speaking to feel comfortable, not only comfortable, you know, listening to you, but comfortable responding to you and interacting with you. It's kind of inviting a response of saying, hey, it's okay to talk back. It's okay to express your opinion. It's okay to really get into the juicy topic that we're talking about this week. Or it's okay to really dive right in and give your opinion on what, you know, you how you feel about things. All right? Now, when it comes to romantic or platonic relationships, either or, the key is to make sure that your tone matches your words. Now, let me say this again. It's important that the tone in which you're speaking matches the message in which you're conveying. So if you are saying something like if you're saying something that's supposed to be happy, and you say it with a very, like, I'm not happy right now tone, like, no, this is not good tone, then the person's like, hold up. I hear what you're saying, but it feels like you're not very enthusiastic or really genuine with the words that you are saying. And see, that's detrimental. You understand? That's very detrimental that you to a relationship. You understand? When you are not being consistent with how you are communicating things in the tone of voice, because that can create trust issues. The person cannot believe how you are putting things, or just can simply cause confusion. You know what I'm saying? Looks like I'm having a little trouble really getting into the chat room here. Been having a little bit of trouble for the past 20 minutes, but, you know, the show must go on. You have to keep it going. So I'm going to just try it. Oh, boop, there I am, guys. So if you guys didn't see me in the chat room, that's why. Okay. So like I was saying, you know, keeping the consistency between your words and your tone helps to develop trust in the relationship, because the person feels like, hey, when this person's talking to me, they can be a genuine person, okay? Remember, using negative tones in the voice like sarcasm, mocking, or condescending tones will only have negative effects on your conversation. So it's not helping when, you know, you're speaking in certain tones of voices. It just does not, you know, give a good aura to the whole conversation, doesn't give a good spirit to it, doesn't do, you know, anything good for the whole thing, okay? Tips on nonverbal communication. All right. There are many types of aspects of nonverbal communication. One of those aspects is eye contact. When people don't look at you directly in the eye, it can come off like they have something to hide or that there's too much eye contact can seem like it's kind of intimidating or confrontational. So what you really want to do with the eye contact is moderate it. You know, have some moderate eye contact with the person. You know, some normal eye contact with the person. And, you know, that will pretty much, you know, say that, hey, I'm listening to you. I'm engaged in your conversation. But also I'm stimulated. So I'm thinking of things, you know. I'm thinking of responses to say. And I'm here. I'm alert. I'm aware of my surroundings as well. But I'm listening to what you are saying. And, you know, the normal length of these intervals is pretty much like 4 to 5 seconds. 4 to 5 seconds of eye contact, then you might pop it over here to what the person is wearing. 4 or 5 minutes of eye contact, you might look at your glass and get you a little bit of something to drink. Or, you know what I'm saying? So just make sure that you're engaging the person that you're talking to by making sure, you know, hey, I'm looking at you. You got my attention, all right? Cool. Gestures is another aspect of nonverbal communication. And taking notice of your gestures when you are in confrontation, especially, can help you avoid escalation of the situation and help you to diffuse the argument itself. Pretty much, gestures are like, you know, you know, if you wave at somebody, that gesture means hi. But you never vocalize hi, you just waved at them, like, hey. You know what I'm saying? Or if you wink your eye at somebody, that means, you know, kind of flirty, you know what I mean? Think you might be kind of cute or something, so I'm going to wink my eye at you, say hey. You understand what I'm saying? But these different things, and there can be offensive gestures. And certain aspects of gestures are not even as clean cut as things like waving at somebody or, you know, winking at them or something. Sometimes it could just be how you're sitting or, you know what I mean, you know, or just how you're standing. These things can also communicate certain things as well. So it's just important that we keep note of those things, especially when we're in confrontational situations or even any situation, so because it can cause confusion. It can either help or hurt the situation you're in. If your gesture, like, say you're in class, like, you know, we all are in school at some point, and, you know, if we're in school and we're slopped over the desk and we're just kind of, like, got our head tilted to the side and, you know, we're looking at the teacher with a dazed look on their face, what is that communicating to the teacher? That's communicating, I'm not really listening to what you're saying. I'm not really taking notes. Somebody who's alert is up, you know, sitting more up straight, maybe still comfortable, but, you know, engaging, looking at the teacher again, we're going with the eye contact, engaging that person, saying, hey, I'm here, I'm listening, I'm doing what I need to do. So, you know, just gestures, be aware of your gestures. Be aware of how you come off to people with things that you might not even be caught. Okay, that I've just been informed that Blog Talk Radio just lost a little bit of power, but it's just been restored, so we may have lost some callers, you know. And if you guys are listening on online and you were called in, you can definitely just come right back on in. The call-in number is 917-932-8881, and press 1 to speak with me, your host, about the whole conversation. And, you know, I apologize for the inconvenience, and like I said, if you missed any part of the show or you've missed any shows whatsoever, you can always come back and listen later. I believe it's about an hour after the show is over. You can come back and listen into the archives. Okay, guys, because everything is, you know, I was having some difficulty signing in myself. I was holding up trying to, like, get on in there. It was like, no, you're not connecting. And I'm like, hold up, is this my computer or this thing? I'm like, good to know it wasn't me because, you know, sometimes I told y'all about my computer be tripping sometimes. So, you know, feel a little bit better. It wasn't just me. But, you know, so if you have difficulty signing in, these things, you know, they happen. It's unfortunate it had to happen in the middle of my show, but it happens, and we just keep it moving. You know, we keep it moving. So, like, you know, we're talking, again, if you guys missed it, we're talking about tips on nonverbal communication. And I just went over gestures, about to get into space. Now, see, space, you don't normally think about space when you think about communication. But think about this. Where you are placed in the room as opposed to the speaker does say something about how you feel about what is being said, okay? So if you stand very, 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 very far away from the person, you know, or you sit very, very, very far away from the person, are you really trying to hear them? Because like we said, the way the brain processes hearing is on two grounds, what and where. So, you know, if you can't really, if you're not very close to the person to be able to hear what they're trying to say, are you really saying that, you know, you want to hear what is being said? No, you're not, okay? So, but also, sometimes if you're a little bit too close, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you ever just been around somebody that just gets too close up in your face, and you're like, I need my personal space. You don't have to step out my personal bubble. There is a line called personal space, and I do believe it's about 8 to 16 inches, okay, away from the person is giving their personal space. That's called your personal bubble. You know, that's your little comfortability. You know, because if somebody's right up on your skin, like, they about to touch you, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't like strangers necessarily touching me. You know, really don't know you like that. You know, you kind of all up on me. It's going to feel a little weird. It's going to communicate different things. So, but sometimes when people are nervous or they're not thinking about the whole situation and how it pertains to what they're trying to do, sometimes they might, you know, come off as becoming overbearing or not really understanding what they really need to do in that type of situation. So just check that your space is moderate. It's not saying, I don't want to listen, but it's not saying, hey, I'm all up in your face. Okay? Now, you know, on my show, how I do it, I always have to give you the spiritual and metaphysical the spiritual and metaphysical aspects of this whole conversation, all right? And the throat chakra is the one of the main chakras dealing with communication. Blockages in this chakra can affect your ability to communicate effectively. Clearing and balancing this chakra can help one's grasp of the skill of communication. So we've gone over chakras multiple times in the show. So if you don't are not familiar, you can look it on up real quick, or you can go back into the other shows and listen to you know, the little excerpts we've done on chakras. The color of this chakra is sky blue. The musical note of this chakra is G. The location of it is at the base of your throat. The endocrine gland that it correlates to is the thyroid gland. The aromas that also help to stimulate this chakra are eucalyptus and sage, and the planets that stimulate this chakra are Mercury and Neptune. It also deals with creativity, so stimulating this chakra might also help you if you're having, you know, writer's block or creative blockages. Stimulating and clearing and balancing this chakra might help you with that. There are different, you know, different aspects that you can utilize that will help you with clearing, balancing, and really getting right on track with that chakra. Because, you know, there's a spiritual component to everything. And sometimes people are not even aware that certain experiences that they've gone through in life might have hindered them not only emotionally, but spiritually in their ability to communicate. Okay? And this, you know, sometimes it happens during traumatic events. And the way that you were communicating once at one time is no longer the way that you're able to communicate anymore. So just keeping in mind that, you know, sometimes we just got to give our chakras and our spirit a little tune-up and really, you know, have everything aligned so that we can do what we need to do to get where we need to be. All right? So I'm going to drop a playlist that I've made of different types of frequencies, meditations, chants, mantras, different things that will help you to clear your throat chakra and really get you into the groove of communicating effectively. All right, and that about wraps it up for the lecture part of this, you know, conversation. And I know a lot of you got thrown off by the little technical difficulty that we had there. But don't be shy to call in and let your voice be heard. The call-in number, again, is 917-932-8881. And do press 1 if you are already in the queue or once you get there, and that will put you in the queue to talk to me, the host. All right? That's great. All right, so right about now, I've pretty much covered all the material. Oh, I guess. Yes. You already know what I was supposed to say. All right, so I'd like to, you know, wind it down for a little music break and, you know, let it go. All right. That was a song from Maxwell, Till the Cops Come Knocking. And the song before that, hold on, let me pull this up. Because, hold on, that song's ending was kind of funny because, like, you know how it ended and then came back, just popped up out of nowhere? I was about to talk, and then the music came back on. I was like, oh, snap, okay. Yes. And the song before that was James Cox, All of Me. All right, or Janice. I think it's Janice Cox. My bad. Janice Cox, All of Me. All right, that was some smooth music communicating some very, very powerful things, and that's the topic of our discussion tonight, how to communicate effectively and things you might be doing wrong. We've really gotten into the meat and bones, meat and potatoes of the real aspect, or for our veggies out there, the tofu and potatoes. I'm just like, I am a little bit crazy, y'all. So I'm just, All right. We got into the real, definitely the core of the topic. But I do have some more information for you guys that could be very helpful when you are trying to communicate. But before I get into that information, I'd just like to remind all of my wonderful listeners on the call on the switchboard, please add your opinion, add your voice. All you have to do, if you're on the switchboard already, if you're called in via the phone, all you have to do is raise your hand and press 1, add on to the conversation. You know, it's called Conversations with the Queen. I can't be speaking to myself the whole time. What does that communicate about me? You know, I'm very good at talking, but, you know, I like to talk to you guys. So, you know, definitely call right on in. If you're in the chat and you like to call in, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. All right. So, understanding the importance of communicating effectively is very key because it is important. All right. You know, it's important in the aspects of business, personal life, everything, okay? As far as the workplace comes through, here's some statistics about the workplace. The average worker spends 50% of his or her time communicating. Business success, and this is for all my entrepreneurs out there, business success is 85% dependent on effective communication. That means you must be able to get your point across about the good or service that you're offering. 45% of the time spent communicating is listening. Writing represents 9% of communication time. I'm pretty sure that's increasing with the influx of the internet and texting, because a lot of people, you know, now text has become a greater leverage of medium of communication. 1/4 of all workplace mistakes are a result of poor communication. And a remarkable 75% of communication is nonverbal. Okay? That means, you know, the tips I gave you about nonverbal communication, those are important. And if you did miss that part of the show, like I said, you can go back in the archives and you can listen in after a while, because it's very important to understand the nonverbal aspects of our communication, and they do deeply affect us, okay? They do deeply affect our ability to have strong communication skills. Communicating through speech. Be articulate, please. You know, some people mumble, and it's hard to hear those people, especially, you know, if your only medium of communication is through speech. So, you know, when all eyes are on you for talking or speaking, please speak very clearly, okay, so that the message comes across in a way that the listener can understand. When I'm talking to you guys, I sometimes I talk a little bit fast. I know I do. That's a bad habit. But I try to speak a little bit, you know, more paced, a little bit, more articulate than I might in the average conversation with, say, one of my friends. So, you know, When you're speaking, it's very, very, very important to be articulate and very, you know, impeccably pronounced. You know, when you speak your words, you know, like to put that little emphasis on them. I'm just playing, you guys. You know, we gotta laugh sometimes. Listen actively, all right? That means when the person is talking to you, you might be deep in thought listening to what they're saying. But, you know, sometimes every time, you know, they might say something, you know, like, oh, I do this a lot. I go, you know? And, you know, that's a little tip for me to say, you know, that person come in and go, oh, yeah, Or, you know, just throw a little something in there. Sometimes it gives the illusion that you're listening. We all got that, you know, that one friend sometimes that just talks and talks and talks and doesn't stop talking. And, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, Lord, I've just been thinking about what we'll be doing tomorrow. But if you throw in that little, oh, yeah, yeah, it might even give the appearance. I don't encourage you to do that. But, hey, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to do some things. Staying on topic. This means addressing the main points of what you're trying to say. Some people like to ramble, and they like to go off topic. And this is also applicative to the, you know, the context of the conversation. I mean, if you're having a personal conversation, it's a little bit okay to more meander, you know, about certain things because it's like a casual conversation. But when you're talking about something like business or very important, you might want to stay on topic, honey, because, you know, the whole meandering thing, it's cool sometimes, but you really need to address the core points of what's being said, okay? Recognize people. Sure, you don't necessarily know the people in your audience or that new friend in your group, but they're nodding along with you and looking knowingly at you all the same. This means that you're connecting with them, so you need to understand that you're acknowledging those people that you're talking to. So, you know, glance over at the person, you know, and that's a part of nonverbal communication. But make sure you're recognizing the people, just like I recognize you all when I say, my lovely listeners. That's me. Recognize everyone. I might not know you personally, but I do appreciate you for listening. Okay? We're going to, okay, go into communicating through body language, and I briefly touched on this, but I can go over it a little bit more and give you a little bit more information on this. Whatever we'd rather believe, people do judge by appearance in terms of communicating effectively, so this in reality means that your body language matters when you're talking, because, you know, we're very visual beings as humans, so how somebody's looking at us or we're looking at them or even things about them might communicate, you know, certain things to us about that person, certain things that we can get from that person, all those different types of things, okay? So use your facial expressions consciously. You know, some people cannot control their facial expressions, and I have a very close friend. Love her to death. She can't do it. And she might be telling you something, but her face is saying something else. And we was like, girl, it's written all over your face. And that's really where that expression comes from. It's written all over your face. You know, you got to kind of gain consciousness over that. Because sometimes even if you're thinking something, you don't, you know, want that person to, you know you're thinking that at that moment. You got to, you know, rein in and hone in how your face is looking. You know, like say if you're trying to be compassionate with somebody, you know, trying to be, you know, empathetic with that person, try to be, you know, soft and gentle facial expressions. If you got this look on your face, like, what are you talking about? You know, that look with your eyebrows scrunched up, like, that facial expression is not going to really help to communicate what you're trying to say. And I'm going to hit another point that I really talk to, breathing and pauses. I do this all the time during the show. Sometimes, you know, I will pause for emphasis. That's what they call it, pausing for emphasis. And that's when you say something, then you pause to let the person absorb what was just said. You know, you got a little pause. If it was important, it plays that emphasis on the word. So, you know, say you're saying something highly important to somebody, like, I'm going to give you $1,000. Pause. Let them solve, take that in, soak it in. You know, I think a person who really utilized the whole aspect of breathing and pauses was Oprah. Because if you kind of listen to her, sometimes she kind of did that where she would, like, you know, pause for emphasis on certain things and inflections a lot. Like, she was a talk show host, and of course she knew how to communicate effectively. So, you know, sometimes she would pause for a little bit of emphasis, a little drama on what was being said. You know, sometimes, you know, if you got a little nervousness, good to take a breath, you know what I mean? That deep breath, you know, that little namaste moment before you speak about what she's about to speak. I do that before I start the show sometimes. All these different things can really become very, very helpful when you are communicating. Hold on, good. When you are communicating. So, you know, just be mindful of these things. Be aware of the different aspects of communication. And really make sure that, you know, the way that you are communicating is effective for you. Not only effective for you, but effective for the environment that you're in, the mindset that you're in, all these different ways. And, you know, sometimes, you know, even the way that we talk about ourselves or to ourselves, that's very important as well. You know, how we speak it to ourselves in our mind, in our conscious mind, you know, it's very good to even understand how we communicate there, how we communicate with ourselves, and how and analyze our own forms of communication. So these things, you know, they are very helpful tools. They're things that are, you know, great for us to utilize. They're wonderful things that we should learn, access, and know. All right, you guys, there's only 3 minutes left in the show. Well, 2 minutes left in the show, actually. So that means I'm going to wrap it up. And I'd like to thank everybody, you know, for bearing with me through those technical difficulties and still listening in to Conversations with the Queen with me, your host, Day Queen. And definitely come back next week, every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. We will be having Conversations with the Queen. We'll be doing different, a plethora of different topics. And this was about Conversations with the Queen was brought to you by Poetic Energy Network Station. You already know we got a beautiful, beautiful array of different types of shows about everything and anything you could need to know about, and they're all entertaining and educational and purposeful in their own way. And so, you know, definitely come back, you know, and listen in and, you know, support the shows. All right, you guys, you know, I was glad to really share this moment with you and this time with you. All right, peace and blessings.
Mm-hmm.